Yeah, it's a remake with
Superman. I know the old version.
Yeah. Hello. I failed to do my signature coming on the air thing.
Good afternoon, St. Louis.
There you go. You know it.
Good morning.
Happy Friday. It's going to be weird because we have to do a full show today, and none of us are happy about it.
I'm fine with it.
Okay, she's fine with it. The rest of us are pretty pissy. Yeah, 1 hour show on Wednesday, 2 hour show yesterday. You'd think this would be a 3 hour show at the most because we're just kind of ramping up, right?
You got to build back up like a rehab assignment.
That's right. Yes. I can't just go 9 innings.
Have you ever considered changing the sign in, like the intro to the show, what you say?
Got a better idea.
What's up, besties? And you can do like this thing on the microphone. That, like,
a little, little asthma. That's just what we need is for Dave to get into ASMR.
Yeah. Oh, man. You have no worry about that.
He's listening to it in the office all day, like whispering.
He's just chewing ice into the mic.
Yeah, I could probably do ASMR. That's one thing that me and the kids share, all three of us. Like, Phoebe has misophonia.
Oh, yeah.
So she can't stand anything like that.
That's tough.
And I can't hit, like, the next button fast enough if I see that. But it's okay if you're into it.
I actually kind of hate it. You like it? You got a few?
There's a couple I like. There's ones where, like, a girl will be doing your makeup.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of fun to imagine, like, oh, she's putting the blush on. Because they'll be like, okay, I'm just going to add a little color to the apples of your cheeks. That looks good.
I don't know what they could do that would intrigue me enough. Wheels, I'm going to guess you're not an ASMR guy.
Nope. Look into the forest. There's Bigfoot.
You gotta say something, just say it.
Looks like he's real stinky.
If you need to say something, just say it.
Yeah. No, Kevin is like the opposite of ASMR. He's screaming.
Yeah, bring me some metal screams. We're good to go.
I'm so angry. Yeah. I can't move today.
I'm beside myself right now.
Instead of punching a hole in the wall, he's like lightly tapping it.
Yeah.
Speaking of hatred. We had an interesting moment on the show over lunch. And so we're sitting in the KMOX talent office where Andrew and Wheels share an office. And, you know, we're just doing our typical thing. And me and Rach and Andrew are hating on a former employee who we didn't like. And Kevin's very quiet. And we kind of like turn to him and he goes, oh, well, she was always really nice to me. And it was like a needle scratch.
He had a big old bucket of cold water, and he just sloshed it at us.
I had to educate him that, look, we have a code here in the DGS, and one of the codes is you hate who we hate.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it works. You know who was great at that? Trish Gazelle. She would hate someone you hated.
Joining the hate.
Like I told him, like there are people that Rachel hate that I hate. And I've never met them. I just know that she hates them. And I'm like, okay, good enough. Good enough for me.
Well, Trish's default is hate. Like, you have to prove why.
You got to bring her around.
Yeah, you got to prove why Trish should like you. It comes naturally for her because she's just in that state.
Yeah, Kev was all Jolly Rancher. She's always really nice to me.
But I got to keep it real, man.
But he did then say, like, but I know they could be a pain to other. Like, he was validating us still.
Yeah.
That's making you feel better.
I got a couple pretty interesting people have picked up on this, what my email is, and emailing me rulings.
Oh.
And I got a couple of interesting ones. All right. Want to kind of start the show with them?
Sure.
Yes. Okay, I find these entertaining. And so I'll paraphrase again, but this was from a woman. She didn't give her age, but she was on a second date with a guy. And she said the first date went really, you know, pretty well. She was like, she's not expecting much from dating these days, but it went pretty well. And the second date, they went to do a few things, but first they did putt-putt.
All right.
Okay?
Mini golf, yeah.
We've all had a putt-putt date.
Absolutely.
Right?
Good chill time. Mm-hmm.
And she needed a ruling because her date brought his own putter.
Oh, buddy.
And she said, at first I thought it was going to be like a Bill Murray kind of, you know, funny thing, but he never really referenced it, and he took the game really seriously.
Buddy.
Yeah.
Don't bring your own putter. What's wrong with you?
I guess I don't see anything wrong. What do you think,
Rach? Here we go.
I think it's more of like a your boyfriend and girlfriend at that point. And it's okay. Like, hey, just so you know, I am really into putt-putt. Like, I have no problem with it. That might be like a bit of an intense, it's a little intense for the second date.
See, I won't call it a red flag, but it's definitely like, okay, somebody's way too competitive about a recreational activity.
That's a great point.
Because, like, first of all, as Rach pointed out, it's the second date.
Yeah.
Who are you competing against? Right, now, if you're going to play mini golf with someone else who is a highly competitive golfer and you decide the two of you, hey, let's compete. All right. But you could still use the putters that are... It's mini golf. You don't need your custom Ben Hogan putter to do that.
But, you know, if you paid for it, you might as well.
Go play golf and use it. That time and place, man.
I'm trying to think of something to compare it to.
I know.
In any of our lives.
Like, could you imagine, like, going out to a bar with friends and, like, oh, there are pool tables there and your buddy brings his own cue and you're like, really?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good comp.
Now, yeah. If you're going to do something competitively, yes, have your own stuff, you know? That's okay. Fine. But, like, when you're doing an entertainment thing with friends or on a date... You're just a little too serious if you're bringing your own equipment.
What if they were going bowling and he brought his own bowling
I'd probably say
ball.
That to me.
You're looking
a
right at me.
Yeah, to me it's a little different. Because,
locking eyes with
because there is actually,
the person I know with a personalized bowling ball.
I was in sixth grade.
Yeah.
Well, it was in our office for 10 years. So.
Yeah, it's just rolling around threatening to crush everyone's feet.
But I don't know. I think we're maybe being a little too harsh because maybe putt-putt is considered kind of dorky. And that's where it's like, you're taking this thing and you are getting nerdy about it. And that's great and good. And I want people to do. I don't think there's anything wrong with having your own putter for it. But it might be a lot to spring on a gal on the second date.
And it also, it is, you can't be too, like, if you went on a date with somebody and it's the second date and, like, to use the bar pool analogy again, you started playing pool and, like, you know, you win and they get, like, really upset. And, you know, or like, you're starting to win and they're clearly, like, even if they're trying
getting
to hide
agitated.
It, they're clearly, like, getting kind, yeah, they're getting kind of agitated that they're losing. Like, that's kind of a red flag in itself.
Yeah. I wouldn't go as far as calling any of it red flag. It's just more of a, like, okay, somebody's taking it a little too seriously. I'm going to keep an eye on that.
It's a risk. You're at a risk for not getting a third date because you went like a little too dork too fast.
I think it's a red flag.
Do you?
Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't go that far, but it's still just like, what are you doing?
So what's like toxic about it to you?
I didn't say toxic.
Well, then what's a red flag?
You're just a douche. You just are. I mean, if you go playing putt-putt with anyone...
So is it more the Tommy Tryhard thing? Like, yeah, you're trying a little too hard for an entertainment thing.
I don't even think it needs to be labeled.
Okay.
You go putt-putt golfing, and you bring your putter, you're a douche. I mean, like, that's just... It is what it
but
is.
But Andrew said if you have it, and maybe he, like, maybe he got it in the past year, and he's like, yes, an opportunity to use my putter.
I would leave it in the car.
He's just constantly suggesting mini golf for every activity.
Yeah. You know what we should do? I think we should go play putt-putt.
I think we should probably play mini golf. I mean...
Well, that's the part of it that kind of bothers me more than anything else, is it just seems like, yeah, he was maybe just using her as an opportunity to use the putter.
To play putt-putt.
I mean, I get it. You know, like, golfer probably keeps clubs in the car, right? I mean, I'm sure you didn't have to, like, go make a special trip
right.
to get your club. But again, just have some feel. It's supposed to be a casual, relaxed environment. We don't need our own specialized equipment.
You want to try and do the second one?
Yeah.
Here
yeah.
too? Okay. This one was from a guy, like Wheeler's age, and his son, who sounds like he's just out of college, is dating a new girl, and they've only been around her a few times, and she seems to be a little on the controlling side. And they went to, he was very specific, they took them, like on a double date, to Texas Roadhouse. And when the food comes, without saying a word, without being performative, without making a joke about it, their son's new girlfriend reaches over and cuts up his steak.
Whoa.
And the son didn't react like, not in front of my mom and dad. And she didn't react. And they were like squeezing each other's legs under the table like, what's going on with this? And he was asking, if this were Nick, would you have a talk with him?
True love. Sounds like true love.
I would definitely ask. Like, what's that all about? Why is she cutting your food? Why can't you cut your food?
I don't understand what the big deal is.
Yeah, I'd be like, hey, that's fine.
It's weird.
That's why we do this exercise.
It harkens back to the shoulder rub thing where it's just like.
It's weird, though.
It's like, I guess it's weird if you want to think it's weird. The cutting up of the steak, like, I don't know. Like, I would never cut Kurt's steak for him. He wouldn't want me to do that.
Right.
But if he did.
If he did. I could see myself, like, getting him a roll and putting butter on it and handing it. It's just like, hey, I made this for you. It's just, like, a nice thing.
Yeah, if he likes the way she cuts it and she likes cutting it.
Yeah, who cares? Let him have fun.
Sorry, it's weird.
Why is it weird? This is where you have to define
why.
Because
that's something that a grown person does for themselves.
It's something a grown person can do for themselves.
The only people that have someone else cut things up for them are children.
I don't think that's true at all.
Does Megan cut your food for you?
If I asked her to, she would. She wouldn't think it was weird.
I think she might.
We had little pork sandwiches last night, and she cut them and put them on the bread. I don't really see what the big deal. Like, is that wrong? That she prepared them on the King's Hawaiian rolls and brought them out.
I could have done it myself.
When you're at a restaurant,
it's something a grown person does for themselves.
You're at a restaurant table and your food comes, and then that person just automatically cuts your food. That's weird.
But like in some cultures,
you're like, my elbow hurts. Can you do this for me? Okay, whatever.
But like in some cultures, you like pour the drinks for each other, and I mean, this is just kind of another extension of that is like, I'm going to do this for you. I'm serving you in this way. This is a nice thing that we do.
Yeah. And like Korea, and I think in Japan too, like if we all went out to like lunch together,
this was Texas Roadhouse.
Yeah. We're not in Korea or Japan.
And I'm just saying, if we got like drinks, like Rachel would have to pour them for everybody.
Right.
It's like the youngest person. I get it.
The youngest
for everybody.
Woman. Yes.
I get it.
And it wouldn't be like weird.
No, not in that setting. It's weird in our setting. In the world that we live in, where the culture is not that. It's not normal. You're at restaurants. Do you guys ever see adults cutting other adults' food?
You're defining this as our culture, but it's like, I don't consider that to be an important part. I don't consider cutting my own steak to be an important part of my culture.
Name the last time you saw another adult cutting the other adult's food in a restaurant.
I don't watch other people eat, Kevin. Neither do you. You can't answer that either.
You watch them eat online.
You're not sitting there. I'm not sitting there watching everyone around me cut their steaks, and neither are you. Neither of us.
So
this is just like the women in Congress thing. Neither of us can answer this question. Neither of us have the answer. So when you confront me with it, it's like, you don't know either, dude.
I do.
Well, okay, can I ask Wheels, if it's the kind of thing where it's like, well, you're an adult, you should be able to do it for yourself. So then is it weird if your wife does your laundry for you or does the dishes for you?
Yeah, you're capable.
It's a good point.
It would be weird if you demanded it.
But he's not demanding it.
I understand, but there's when you're talking about regular stuff, you have an understanding with the person that you're with. I have to do certain things, you have to do certain things. Cutting someone's food for them is typically not one of those things, and it's weird. It's not a red flag. It's not you're a terrible person. It's a little weird. It's a little bit off. There's a reason Dave got that email, because some person was like, that seems a little odd.
No, I'm not saying it's not. I'm not saying it's not odd. I'm just saying it wouldn't. I wouldn't be like, can you believe it? I'd be like, oh, okay. Well, that's nice. They like doing that.
You know when
fun guys.
You know when they win the championship, the college team does, and they grab the goalpost, rip it out of the ground, and run it into the lake and toss it into the lake. That's kind of what it's like arguing with Kevin. Suddenly it's about, well, it's weird if he's demanding of her to cut
the first words out of my mouth on this were, it's not a red flag, it's just weird. And you guys are all like, why is it weird? Why is it weird? I haven't seen anybody do it. Nobody I know does it. I don't do it, but it's not weird. Of course it's a little weird.
You're being very heteronormative about this, Kevin.
I agree that it's a little weird, but
what are you talking about?
This is my favorite day.
You're declaring that it's weird just because you don't do it.
You don't either.
I don't think it's weird.
Do you know a single person that has this happen? Does anybody in this room know one person that has their significant other cut their food for them at a restaurant.
I have never asked, and if I saw it, it wouldn't bother me.
I want to know why it makes him heteronormal, though.
Yeah.
Because he's saying, I don't do it. No one I know does it. Which means that it's weird. Oh, and it's like, that's not what that means.
For God's sake.
It's not weird just because you don't do it.
If I can bridge the gap a bit, I agree that it is, like, here's my problem with it. I don't have a problem with the cutting. I do think, yeah, it is strange. However, whatever floats your boat, I think it's maybe a little, like, at a certain point, it's like, are you just being mean when you're doing the, like, squeezing hands under the table? Like, can you believe this? This is so weird. Like, is it that weird? Is it that weird that it's like, we gotta break this down later?
Yeah.
That's where I'm coming from.
I think it is. It's not a congressional case. I just don't understand, like, if somebody thinks an odd behavior is odd, why is that somehow a terrible thing?
It's not. But it's not. Also not.
Odd's also kind of mean.
Odd.
What?
And it's also kind of mean if they're
What's
doing
mean?
It.
What's mean? Who cares?
If they're like making fun of their son because his girlfriend cut up his steak for him one time, that's a little bit mean.
Okay, so nobody ever makes fun of anybody for anything, right? So those kids, they don't make fun of anybody else for anything. They're perfect.
It's mean when they do it too. I make fun of people all the time, and guess what?
Geez.
It's mean.
Oh, baby. Jeez. It's mean. What are we, two? Don't be mean to your sister.
What did he just say, and why did it make me horny?
Oh, baby.
Dave's about to cut up your steak, Will. You better watch out.
Yeah. Stay away from my food,
I'm
man.
I'm going to show you my special putter.
Stay away from my food. And keep your putter in the trunk. Wait.
Can we please do the live? We are so late.
We're gonna be making pork sandwiches.
Don't cut them.
I don't even know what that means. Oh, my God. Tell you. Oh, baby. Oh, baby. It was the wettest oh, baby I've ever heard.
I tried not to
swear.
Well,
the second wettest. All right. Well, we left ourselves like 40 seconds.
I gotta go air out. I'm sweating from laughing.
Kyle says that was great. I'm sweating from laughing.
Yeah, all
I'm
of us.
Completely pitted out. Completely pitted out.
Well, it is also warm in here because we can't have a studio with air conditioning that functions.
Yeah, open the window.
Yeah, well, today we actually could.
Yeah.
Let the downtown St. Louis air in.
Yeah.
Take a deep breath.
Drink it in.
We're all like,
there's nothing like it.
Drink it in, fellas. Gene says, gosh, I hate conflict.
Oh, no, we
That's
were having
not real.
Fun. We were having fun.
That's
yeah,
not
no,
real.
We're fine.
If you see the stream, we're laughing.
No, people, if they just tune in for the first time, they would think that we were insane, especially you
well,
two.
I mean, we are kind of insane. I mean, I'll cop guilty to that.
Linda is bringing up an interesting point. Cutting somebody's food is on the personal side, so that's what makes it weird. Similar maybe to someone holding a Kleenex while their partner blows his or her nose.
Somebody does that?
Or maybe like wiping
well,
someone's
gross.
Face for them.
We found the line.
Yeah.
You know, that okay, I could see why.
Yeah,
my wife will wipe my face for me sometimes. If I've got, like, food on it and, like, I, you know, I'm not seeing it or whatever, I will ask her not to, but she does it.
She does the thing where she, like, licks her thumb. She's like, oh, you got a little...
Kind of, yeah. And I'm like, because it, I don't know, it scares me when she does it.
It scares you.
What are you scared
you?
Of?
Well, because we'll be, like, eating at a restaurant, then all of a sudden there's just, like, on my face, and I'm like, whoa.
Who is this woman?
I prefer the Biden approach. You got a bug on you?
Yeah.
You got crumb on you.
1, 2, 3, take my hand and come with me because you look so fine that I really want to make you mine.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. 1:34. Happy Friday to everybody. That last thing that we did was so stupidly hilarious. We're going to replay that for you at 4:30 so you can come back or you can always podcast it. In studio, we have a guest, Trent Colquitt. And guys, you know, I know a lot of people, right? I'm a man about town. This is my guy.
Yes.
This is my guy. We go all the way back.
All the way back.
All the way back.
Yes. Absolutely.
And you're like a little brother, second son to me.
Yeah.
And I'll always be thankful to you because you took good care of Nick when you guys were working together.
Shout out Nick.
Yeah. So so we go way, way back.
Absolutely.
And so I saw you the other day at 801. And you're telling me about your business.
Yes.
And here's the thing. I knew about this guy who had this business. I didn't know it was you. So that's really, really cool. I'm so proud of you, man.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
So hand me one of these.
There you go. I got that one. Take that one. Yeah.
Show the stream. This is what Trent does. Custom painting sneakers. And it's really blown up lately. So, man, start at the beginning. Tell us the story.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
I did some research. It's been 10 years since I've been on this show.
Really?
10 years.
Wow.
Man. 2016.
Damn.
I was here with Jeff. We were talking about Scapegoat.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I pulled up the interview. It was great. But
a lot of things have happened in 10 years.
A lot of things have changed. A lot of things have changed. But basically, Culture Kicks kind of started just at my kitchen table. COVID happened. Got kind of stuck there in the house. Didn't have anything to do. I've always had this love for art and sneakers. Kind of turned into a hobby, just painting shoes, trying to pass the time by. You know, everybody was trying to find their own thing during that time, and had a bunch of people message me on social media trying to just find out, like, oh, can I get this shoe? Can I do this? Can I do that? And I was just like, wow, like, maybe I could parlay this into something that, you know, could be sustainable. And here we are, just celebrating my 5th year this past November. So
now, talk to me about your artistic background. Like, it started as a little kid.
Yes. I was always a fan of coloring, drawing, all those kind of things. My biggest inspiration was my grandfather. When I used to go visit him over the summer, every time after work, he would go to his studio and paint. He did like the oil paintings like Bob Ross.
Yeah.
Happy trees and such.
Yeah, cool.
So I was always mesmerized by that. Still have a lot of his paintings today. But, you know, I think it was just always just the imagination, the colors, the kind of just creating whatever you wanted. It was just always one of those things that is always like stuck with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you've been a sneaker guy since you were a kid.
Since inception. Yeah. I think I had Jordans coming out of the womb. For sure. Like, for sure.
And
like,
Kevin was asking if you're like a buy, sell, and trade kind of guy, but no.
That's an absolute no.
Yeah.
No, I couldn't do it. I tried during COVID because I thought it would be cool and be like the sneaker guy that flips shoes and stuff like that. And it is a cutthroat business. I mean, I've gotten like cursed out by like 14-year-olds. So like,
it's not mean too, man.
They are. It's not where I want to be in life. So I think I found my niche, and I think I'm doing it pretty well right now, and things are going really great.
I always feel like about the sneaker market, I like sneakers, but nothing like you. But when I see like the videos of people buying and selling and trading, I feel like, oh, I would so be the person with inferior knowledge. Like, you know what I mean? I'd have like the first Air Jordans ever made. And I'm like, I think they're Converse. And they'd be like, we're going to buy those.
That's funny you said that. $10. I actually saw a guy last week. I was grabbing a pair of shoes from somebody at TAMF. And a guy was asking me about my business. And he's like, yeah, I got these Jordans. They were under my bed. And I found them. And he was like, I think they're like the original Jordans from, I was like, from like 1985. He was like, oh, from like the 90s. I was like,
nah, the originals are 85. Yeah.
I was like, Michael's been in the league. He was in the league for a while. So I think he got some like original ones, but like not the original ones.
Yeah. So how does your business work? It is, I guess, it's probably both ways. Like, do people bring you their sneakers and correct, tell you what they want?
Correct.
Okay.
That's exactly how you basically just nailed my entire business plan.
That's like tattoos.
Plan. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you got to bring your body to get tattooed, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, bring your shoes to me. It's all commission-based work. Basically, somebody goes to my website, fill out a form. They basically try to describe what they want as best as possible.
Yeah.
We do offer free 15-minute consultations for anybody that's just curious, regardless of if they commit to something or not. And basically they say like, hey, I want a green pair or whatever. And then we just kind of just go through there, do a mock-up, show them what they like. And if they agree with it, then we just go through the process. And, you know, lead times vary depending on the time of year, things like that. So,
yeah,
it's a pretty simple process.
Have you caught on yet nationally with, you know, players or celebrities?
I have. I've been very blessed. I've been able to build my portfolio up to a pretty high level.
I'm not a big horn tutor, I guess is probably the best way, but I will name drop for you just a little bit because you're my boy.
Andrew. Yeah.
I've done shoes for Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle, Adam Sandler, John Mayer. I worked with three NFL players last year from My Calls, My Cleats, which was a really awesome foundation where they do for charities. So that was really cool. One of my pairs got featured on Good Morning Football last year, which was really awesome. It was cool to see my shoes on national TV. And most recently, I did a pair for the catcher of the Savannah Bananas, Bill Leroy. So those have been on TV a lot. So that's every cool. time I see him on TV on ESPN or YouTube, I always point him out. He's a great guy. So he always manages to tag me and everything, and it's been pretty awesome.
How were those celebrities you just mentioned, how were they to deal with when they're coming to you?
Honestly, they're nice people. With some of the bigger names, it was mostly tour managers basically sending me a list of what they would like, and then I just kind of go off of that.
Yeah.
With some of the other people, it's direct contact. Like me and Bill did a small Zoom call. I asked him what he liked on his cleats because I did a pair for him in 2023, I believe. And for this new pair, I just wanted to do something really special for him, and we just did a quick Zoom call. Talked about some things that he would like to see on his cleats. And I just kind of went from there and sent it to him. And, yeah, they're going to sold-out stadiums across the country now.
You know anyone from the Cardinals?
I don't know anybody from the Cardinals. I did just do an event. I did Black Heritage Day. I was one of the featured artists for that. So I got to go to Busch Stadium and hang out in the theme area and Budweiser patio and got to show off all my work and things like that. So it was really fun. So I got to do that a couple weeks ago. So that's my first in, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
I think we can help you with that.
All right.
Yeah, I think we can make some introductions. Here's what you do.
Okay.
You do a free pair of sneakers for Andrew. Okay. And Andrew is boys with Jordan Walker, and then one thing leads to another.
I love that.
So is the pricing like based on, this is real simple, this isn't going to be a big deal, or this is going to take me a few weeks?
So with that, I do have like a baseline price, but also it's dynamic. So I'm not going to say that I cut corners for people that I like, but sometimes the situation, the exposure is worth more than the money sometimes.
That makes sense.
And I think sometimes you have to invest in those things in order to get your name out there. And it's all part of marketing. So I consider the people that wear my shoes walking billboards.
You bet.
So if I can have an opportunity where I can take care of somebody or maybe like shave a little bit off the price to make it more comfortable for them to keep it in their budget, then why not? You know, if it garners me the exposure on the back end, then I'm more than happy to do that.
Yeah. Rach, any questions before we wrap up with Trent?
No, I mean, I guess I was just going to ask, I'm really interested in like the restoration work. Like how often are people reaching out about that? Like I have this older pair of shoes that mean a lot to me. What's it like for you to be able to kind of bring those back to life for people?
It's actually kind of fun. That was kind of one of the things I did a lot early on because it was like I was taking shoes from Goodwill or Mercari or some kind of like vintage old school site where I would just grab shoes that were just used and I would just restore them first and then I would paint them. So it was always kind of cool to take something that was kind of beat up and then turn it into something really cool, put a fresh coat of paint on it and, you know, make it look like it just never, you know, seen the light of day. So it was pretty awesome.
And how long does a complicated pair of sneakers take you?
Probably I've gotten pretty good at it. But I would say like a very complicated pair would probably take me close to like 2 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
Some work.
Yeah. You have to consider all the other things in.
Yeah.
Like, you know, obviously like I am a socialite and I like to do things and have.
Got a life.
Yeah. You know, so I'm not necessarily a robot, but when it's time to lock in, I take care of business. So, you know, but no, it just depends on the time of year. But I've done pairs in like 3 days. I've done pairs in a day. You know, so it just depends on the
so time. Give us the website. Give us your Instagram, everything that people will need to see your shoes.
So everybody can follow me at Culture Kicks on all social media. That's ColtreKicks. And that is also my website, culturekicks.com. And then I also have a secondary website. It is bigshoeenergy.com.
Love it.
That's the tagline for my business. So it's featured on all my merch and things like that. And if you go on bigshoeenergy.com and purchase an item, you will get a free cleaning kit if you put the code DGS.
Got it right there.
Oh, cool.
There you go.
Nice.
Very nice.
Well, I'm very proud of you.
I appreciate it.
All right. Love you, buddy.
I love you too, bro.
Welcome back, DGS on KMOX. Few minutes shy of 2 p.m. Happy Friday. Well, not a gorgeous day today, but feels gorgeous, you know.
Good temperature.
Good temperature. Really nice. That was fun.
Yeah.
It's so great. See people you've known forever. Watch them grow up. Watch them become successful, especially in something like that, something artistic.
Also get to do what they like to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something you'd like to do that's fun for you, and you can turn it into a business, that's great.
Mm-hmm. Rich, you want to do something here?
Yeah.
I hate to do fast food without Andrew.
Well, fast food news is great today. I remember I told you in the office I would kind of even... If we could only do one, I would rather do that than headlines today, quite frankly.
Ooh.
Have you guys seen... Okay, we'll talk about something kind of silly. Have you seen the trailer for this new movie called Other Mommy?
Yes.
Do you think it looks scary, Wheels?
No.
You know what's so funny about this, Rach?
But it jump scared a lot of people because it's in the trailers for The Odyssey.
Yeah,
There are a lot of people in there not necessarily expecting it, and they throw a jump scare or two into the trailer.
I don't know anything about the movie, but the title suggests it's something like the other movie that scares you so bad.
Yes, it is. It's a doppelganger situation.
Yeah, it is. Yep.
This is like an evil entity that lives in this family's house, and it looks like the mother of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And the little girl is seeing this entity, and it's like, I'm your other mommy. And she keeps saying, like, I want to come into your heart.
Yeah.
And it's creepy, and there's a huge jump scare in the trailer. I was getting scared before I even saw, because it came up in my TikTok algorithm, and I was like, I'm getting scared. And then I like got away from it, thought about it for about 48 hours. Then I built up the courage to look up the trailer and watch the whole thing.
Yeah,
it looks spooky. It's got Jessica Chastain.
Oh, I like
her. She's the mommy and the other mommy.
Yes. And it's people are also comparing it to Coraline, if you ever saw that movie or read that graphic novel, because there's a character in that called the Other Mother.
Oh, yeah.
And she looks like her mom, but she's got a few key differences that make her not Coraline's mom.
Yeah, I think Nick and I watched that when he was too young, and I didn't really check it out the way I should have. And by the time I noted, like, oh, this is very odd.
The graphic novel is way scarier than the movie.
Yeah.
Way scarier.
Okay.
Maybe it's kind of spooky, though. But I was thinking, because I'm, you know, trying to go to sleep and I'm feeling a little scared thinking about Other Mommy. And then I was like, you know what? For every movie they make about a haunted house, they never make a movie about a haunted one-bedroom apartment. And that's what I'm working with. So I got nothing to worry about, quite frankly.
Yeah, right. Where's the ghost going
to
hide?
Exactly. I mean, if you're going to haunt, you got to have places to hide.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's nowhere to hide. And it's like, oh, were you going to wake up my neighbor? You're haunting me too loud.
Yeah.
They're going to go somewhere else.
There are haunted hotel rooms, but that's not the same thing.
Silver lining in not being a homeowner.
There you go.
No ghosts.
No
spirits inhabiting this domain.
Did you guys see the lady on Carnival Cruise that was scratching the bottom of her foot with a fork?
No.
And then returned it to her table?
No. What?
To continue eating?
What?
Yep.
Why?
I don't know. But someone was filming it. And she's sitting there, she takes her shoes off, takes the fork, scratches, really digs in there on the bottom of her feet, puts it back on the table, continues eating, and then later in the meal, does it again, goes really even harder this time. So
hopefully that was the salad fork and not the...
The Carnival Cruise actually put out kind of a tongue-in-cheek, you know, forks are for eating food. And
a fork-in-foot message.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably don't do that. Socks or no socks?
No socks.
No socks. That's, yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at her foot right now.
That's great.
She probably got some exfoliating done with that. That's all I'm going to say about that.
That's all I have to say about that. Yeah.
Why are you so nasty and gross? Do that in your home with your own fork. I really don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you are in public. People can see you.
Rachel, do you do that thing where the fish eat the skin off your feet?
I would, but I think I would be really eebed out the first couple seconds.
Yeah.
It would just, I would be scared they were going to hurt me, even though they've never hurt anyone in the course of doing that. It's just, it would be tough, but I think I could do it. Would you do it?
Oh God, no.
Really?
No. I mean, I wouldn't want to do it. Like, I'd rather have dead skin than the fish eat it. But then that's like, that's right in my tickle box. Like, that would be tough. I remember when this story first came out long time ago when Tom was still on the show and we were at Union Station and they had, remember the koi fish, Rach, over there in the little lake and you could feed them. And I wanted Tom to put fish food between his toes and stick them in there and let the fish go after that.
Oof.
Yeah.
He declined, I guess.
We just never made it happen.
Yeah.
We're pretty lazy back in those days.
No, I actually went, I got a pedicure today, and it was my first time getting a professional pedicure in quite a while.
Yeah.
And I had lost my sea legs. So when they start getting in there and like, they're really tickling you and they're really messing with you. And when you get it done all the time, it's easy to just be able to get past it. But today I'm like, if there had been a camera on my face the whole time, you would have seen like some grimacing and a lot of overreacting.
Back in probably the late 90s, Maureen and I went to some resort. That was, you know, that's what we did back then. And she thought it would be funny if I got a mani-pedi. And so, you know, we're drinking and stuff. You're in Jamaica. And so I did it. And I loved it.
Of course.
And when I came back, I just started, not so much the pedi, but I started getting manicures.
Of course.
To the point that after a couple of months, she goes, you know what?
Didn't think this was going to become a key part of your personality.
Yeah, this is not ideal for me. So.
Leave town, got enough.